Well, hi there, everyone. Once again, just as we get started on our new series, let me just hit refresh. And actually, there's a bit more that's come through since Phil's announcement. So thank you to those people who have responded. But as we start our new series, I can tell you that what has refreshed me after lockdown and after all the restrictions and all the rule changes and not being able to go out after 9 o'clock, which is the best time to go out and go walking and doing all the things that you need to do. But after all of that stuff, what has refreshed me is seeing all of you in these last few weeks. The Bible says we are spiritually united in Christ, and nothing can change that, even being separated for months. But we are one together in Him, and the expression of this when we get together is so good. And it's super re-energizing to see you and be able to speak to you, but actually to be in a group when everyone's talking and hanging out and smiling and laughing, it is fantastic. And I hope and trust that after the long hibernation of lockdown and adjustment to kind of getting back into things, that the next 4 weeks together will revive us as a church and refuel us for serving our great God. That's the plan for this series, North Mead Refresh. Why don't we pray as we kick it off? So let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've got us through some really hard times, personally and as a church. Father, thank you that you are always with us, and thank you that right now we get to hear you speak in your word. We pray that we'd listen, and that our hearts, our souls, our minds would be open to your refreshing power in Jesus Christ, and that you would keep transforming us, keep giving us life and energy to serve you and to share your love with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we love fresh things, don't we? I mean, fresh food is awesome. Baked bread that is still warm out of the oven, covered in butter, is just the best. But fruit and vegetables, fresh and crisp, they're way better tasting when they're really fresh. It's so much better. But it's also true not just of food, but of a whole bunch of things. Fresh ideas, fresh ways of doing things. Maybe it's a new TV show or new music or a book or technology. We love things being new. We love things being the latest and different. At the same time, we do actually love things that are familiar and comfortable. That's why we often want to go to the same place for lunch all the time, because we know what it's like. We go to the same place for holidays, shoes that have kind of worn in and comfortable, or a couch, an armchair that's molded itself to you, or your favorite food that you love, keep going back to that recipe that your mum or your grandma, whatever it is, it's familiar and we love it. Well, tonight I want us to experience something from God's Word that is brand new, something that is fresh, something that is original and the latest, but at the same time, it is comfortingly familiar. And it is the infinite mercy of God in Jesus dying for our sins. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, we've heard that before. In fact, some of you are thinking, that's all we ever hear. And to that I say, great. But listen to God's word from our first reading from Lamentations. Should come up on the screen again. Lamentations 3, the first couple of verses of that section, says this: because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for His mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I want us to notice two quick things from these verses. First, God's mercy, God's faithful love is never ending. It is always the same. It is always true. It will never run out. It will never cease to be everything you need to live. But at the same time, notice His mercies are new every morning. His mercy is fresh every day. His compassion and His loyal love is continually renewed. See, on one hand, God's love and mercy to us in Jesus never wavers. It doesn't go up and down depending on His mood or depending on your performance. It is constant and unceasing. His mercies will never end and can never be taken away from us. But the fact that God is with us, no matter what's happening, He loves us and is on our side, that fact comes fresh and new every day, like morning sunlight, like a cool summer breeze, like clear water from a spring. It revives us and re-energizes us and puts a smile on our face. His love and mercy is constant and always new, unchanging and yet always fresh. And actually, what makes His mercy eternal is that it is renewed every morning. And what makes His mercy to us new every day is that it's still there and it lasts forever and it never gets old and it never fades, unlike anything else we experience in life. And what this means is, because we are God's people, because we are saved by and called by and defined by His love and mercy in the cross of Christ, then our experience of Christian life and our experience of church will be the same. It will be constant and eternal and unchanging, and so we are content with God and what He has done. We are satisfied with His ceaseless, unending mercy. Because, you know, God's people have gathered together around God's word and shared their lives and shared meals and shared encouragement since the very beginning. And they will until this world ends. That won't change. The gospel won't change. God's love won't change. Our mission won't change. But at the same time, God's mercy is fresh and new every day. And so His church is growing and changing and building and moving and adapting and bearing fruit as God works in us, because God's eternal, unchanging word is living and active. It's alive. Both of these realities are true for us. The Lordship of Jesus brings both contentment and constancy and change and renewal. Now, to explore this idea a little bit further, I want to talk about time for a moment. Often people discuss the nature of time and wonder, is it linear in the sense that it's a straight line moving forward and progressing? Or is it kind of circular and we just end up back where we were and we're just kind of repeating the same mistakes, the same problems, and we just never go anywhere? But we see in the Bible that I think it's both. From the very beginning, you go back to Genesis, as God sets up the whole world, the whole universe. As God works to create the whole world, it tells us right there at the beginning, there is evening, there is morning, the first day. Then there's another evening and another morning, but it's not the same day, it's the second day. There's been progress, we've moved forward. As God's plan and purpose moves forward in a linear fashion from beginning to end, He does it through small circles, lots of little beginnings and endings. A day, then we start another day. It's not just kind of one long extension of day getting lighter and lighter or darker, whatever it is, we start a new day. And then we start our week all over again. And then there are seasons through the year, and then that cycle begins again. And we know what spring will bring, and then after that will be summer, and then after that will be, but always moving forward. It means there's a certain predictable pattern about the future. And yet at the same time, we don't really know what the future holds. Think about Israel's experience in the Old Testament. God's work in them. How many times did they experience prosperity and peace and being settled and enjoying God's amazing blessings? But then as they forget Him, there's times of hardship and struggle. But that causes them to cry out to God and brings them back to God and to His blessing, and it repeats the process over and over again. But even as they repeat, always it is moving forwards towards God's ultimate plan in Jesus Christ. So when it comes to the way that you understand the world, the massive divide today that causes most of the arguments and accusations and the division in social media in the world, the big disagreement today is between conservatives and progressives. And it's actually all about this. Progressives say that all change and everything new and never been done before must be good. But that's not true. Have you tried drinking with paper straws? Did you eat Cadbury chocolate with Vegemite in it? Have you watched any of the latest Star Wars movies? Just because they're new doesn't mean they're any good. Even more significantly, humans have continually invented horrible new ways of being horrible to God and each other. Conservatives, on the other hand, say, well, therefore, change is bad. Everything new and never been done before is suspicious. The old ways are always the best. And that's not entirely true, is it? Because human history is littered with awful things that we should never, ever do again. And the problem is we're trying to figure this out without the lordship of Jesus. And in the end, it's the same debate in churches between liberals who want to change God's message and adapt it to the modern world. So they say, let's change the message, let's change who Jesus is, let's ignore the Bible, invent new gospels and find new truths. You don't even recognize it as Christianity anymore because they're looking for something new and fresh. On the other hand, you have traditionalists who would rather sit in empty sandstone buildings wearing the same clothes, using the same language, having the same religious format they did 1,000 years ago. Both of them have completely missed the point. Neither of these are what God calls his church to be. Because you see, God's sovereign kingship over everything, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord, always drives reformation and change and renewal of the church. Which is a good time of year for us to be remembering that. Last Sunday was Reformation Day. We remember those who reformed and renewed and revived the church. They threw off all the old traditions and the structures and the man-made inventions that had got in the way and denied the gospel. But do you know what started the Reformation and the renewal and the change that happened in that time? They went back to the original. Going back to the Word of God, going back to read the Scriptures without the filter of official church tradition, the gospel was preached afresh when God's eternal, unchanging Word was read and believed. The church was revived and renewed and reformed by going back to what it had been from the start, saved by grace through faith. And I want to say this is not just something that's a concept out there in the world or out there in church history. It's our own personal experience as Christians as well. It is who we are in Christ Jesus. We are brand new people. It's what the Bible says. This is what God says. You might think, I don't feel that new. And God says, you are new. Trust me. I've given you brand new identities, established a brand new relationship with God and standing with God forever. This is God's gift to us. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. The Bible says we've been given new birth into a living hope. That means we have a brand new destiny after we die. We have a brand new purpose to live now. We are brand new, but notice God has chosen us. We're still us. God doesn't erase us and delete us and replace us with a brand new thing that had nothing to do with us. He takes us and makes us brand new, but it's still us. Because you see, the truth that's always the same and yet always fresh, it is unchanging and yet always relevant, it's eternal and yet it's always new, is that Jesus Christ is our loving Lord and Savior who died for us. Jesus Christ is our Lord, he's our Master, he's our King, he's our God. He's the one who commands us and guides us and tells us who we are and how to live. He's the one we worship. And Jesus Christ is our rescuer and our Savior, our friend. He is our comforter and our counselor who died for us. He's the one we trust. His faithful love and mercy never ends because he died for us. Once and for all. His faithful love and mercy is new every morning because he rose from the dead for us. So maybe you're feeling as a Christian a bit tired and worn out after lockdown, but also just after life is hard. Being away from each other is hard, but just life is sad and difficult and stressful, and maybe you're feeling flat in your faith. Or a little lost in your walk with Christ. Maybe you feel like you're missing that spark of joy, or you have this suspicion that maybe some other church out there is going to get you in touch with a deeper, fresher spiritual experience of God. Well, let me remind you tonight of what has always been true, and it always will be true, but it's good for us to hear it anew and afresh. And that is the glorious, perfect, sacrificial, unconditional love of Christ is what defines us and shapes us and unites us and transforms us and revives us. Not our feelings, not our perceptions, not our circumstances, not our relationships, but Jesus Christ. See, when it comes to thinking about ourselves as Christians and about our church, the gathering of God's people, it's good for us to hit refresh on this awesome, amazing, mind-blowing truth. The perfect love that Christ has for his people, demonstrated in his death on the cross. Do you remember when Jesus meets the woman by the well, the foreign woman, in the middle of the day, in the middle of nowhere, and he says to her, "Everyone who drinks from this water in the well will get thirsty again. Whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give will become a well of water springing up in that person for eternal life." The love of Christ is never ending and never changing. The love of Christ is always fresh and always new and always available and always filling us. And this is what shapes and defines us. This is what gives us identity and value and purpose. So identity. To the question, who am I? The simple answer is firstly, I am a Christian. I am a Christian, someone who my life revolves around and is oriented towards Christ, my Savior, my King, and my God. Secondly, comes everything else. But first, I am a Christian. Go back to our passage from Colossians 3. Hopefully you've still got it open, but if not, turn up Colossians chapter 3. This was our second reading, but I'm just going to read from verse 9. It kind of talks about this, our identity in Christ. Colossians 3, verse 9. "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all." There's our new identity. We are made new in Christ. The old us is gone. There is a new us. And what it means is national backgrounds, religious backgrounds, cultural and social identities, they don't define us. But Christ is all and in all. We belong to the perfect one. And this new reality cannot be taken away from us because it comes from him. Our identity doesn't come from us, from working hard, from being good, from being religious or doing our best or being in control of our lives. No, our identity comes from him. He looks at us and says, "They're mine." It's given to us freely through his love. Even more, our identity as Christians. Our identity as God's church doesn't come from our feelings. As if I feel like a Christian, then I must be one. And if I don't feel like a Christian, then maybe that's a dangerous path that our world is walking down, that our feelings now determine reality and not the other way around. You see, for us, as we think about who we are, first and foremost, we are Christ's. We belong to him. Christ's man, Christ's woman, and as Christ's gathered people as a community, our identity is first and foremost that we are his. We are Christians. We happen to meet in a place called Northmead. We happen to be Anglican. We happen to be meeting at 6 p.m. But first and foremost, we belong to Christ. And so what you look like and your language, your culture, your nationality, male, female, young, old, all are welcome. Because what matters and what unites us together is our identity as forgiven sinners in Christ. That shifts your thinking enormously when you realize you exist for God. Which brings us to our value. Christ defines our identity and Christ defines our value. Christ determines what we are worth. You see this kind of thing in the housing market at the moment that maybe you're not particularly conscious of, but the way it works is the value of a house is whatever someone is willing to pay for it. So it might be a rundown, battered old house that's falling apart, but it's worth millions because people want it. That's the same as us. The Bible says for us it's worse because we're like a falling down house in swampland on the edge of a cliff, about to fall into the sea, being struck by lightning with a volcano underneath. Our worth, our value as property is pretty much the same. In ourselves, we have nothing. The Bible says we are guilty, rebels, corrupted by sin, but Christ was willing to pay everything for us. His life, His blood, His sacrifice determines our value. God was willing to pay the highest price imaginable, the blood of His precious Son. You see, if someone is willing to die for you, that makes your life worth something, doesn't it? If God the Son is willing to die for you, that makes your life worth everything. That makes our church worth everything. What makes us valuable is not how young or tall or rich or funny or smart or sporty or good-looking or stylish or skillful or popular we are. But trust me, I would know. Here is your value if you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. You are chosen by God. God decided He wants you. And you are precious to God. God was willing to pay the highest price imaginable to redeem and rescue you. You are found by God. You were far away and lost. But God searched for you until He found you and carried you home to experience eternal forgiveness and acceptance and welcome and love. You are adopted by God. He calls you precious daughter or son, and everything He has is yours. And you are indwelt by God. God decides that the place He would dwell in the world is not a temple or a building or a shrine or a palace or a holy place, but you. He lives in you. He shines His glory for everyone, for the universe to see in you, which in turn leads to our purpose. See, part of what gives something value is the purpose it accomplishes. Something for greater purpose is naturally more valuable. We now exist for the greatest purpose there is, the glory of God in the salvation of sinners. We exist for God's delight and God's pleasure and God's joy. We exist for His glory, which means for us now everything is for Christ. Everything. Now, how do we do this? I know sometimes it's hard because you think, well, I know church and Sundays feels like it's for Christ, but the rest of the week, does that mean I have to go to church every day or sit in church 24 hours a day? Do I have to be doing religious things all the time? And I mean, you know, kind of, do I cover myself in religious badges to make it look like a... No, what it means is if your whole life, even the ordinary little details, is lived in service of God and His glory, then He is your anchor in the storm. He's your lighthouse in the darkness. He's your tether that keeps you from falling and the strong foundation that helps you stand. So when you're sitting around the table having dinner, or you're driving or catching the bus to uni, when you're in a meeting or you're talking to friends, when you're shopping online or just infinite scrolling or deciding what to watch, know that God loves us so much and so comprehensively that He is interested in all of those things and those aspects of your life. And we need to keep asking ourselves, is Christ at the center of what I'm doing? Is Christ at the center of what we do when we get together Sundays and during the week? Does it bring Him joy and pleasure? Does it express His worth and majesty? Does it display faith in His power and His promise? And what happens is, what starts out as having to kind of deliberately discipline your thinking and align your mind to Him and bring it back, oh, that's right, this is what matters. The more you do it, then it becomes more natural, more instinctive to keep making Christ the center and the focus. Because here's the thing. If you want to know more about your identity in Christ and your value in Christ and your purpose in Christ, then you need to know Him. Because He shapes and defines those things, who we are and our worth and our reason for being. Again, it's right there in Colossians 3. It's there in verse 10. So you've put off the old self. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. You hear that? You've put on this new self, which is being renewed. So it's not as if you're a Christian and thinking, man, I'm still a work in progress, I must be doing it wrong. No, actually, your new self is being renewed. It's an ongoing process, being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. At the end of this whole process, you are going to look and act and think and feel exactly like God. That's an awesome promise, isn't it? Knowing God is what renews us. Knowing God through His Son Jesus is in fact the most practical, most relevant, most applicable, most life-changing thing there is. Because as you know Him, then you know who you are, what you're worth, and how to live. Imagine someone says to you that life for them is all about family. And so you say, well, oh, tell me about your family. And they say, well, I don't really spend much time with them. I don't know them that well. That's just weird. Or they say, I live for rugby league. Well, what did you think about the Panthers winning? And they're like, oh, the Panthers won. I didn't even realize. How could you not know? We know life is all about Jesus. Relationship with God through Jesus. So when people ask us, oh, well, tell me about this Jesus person who defines your whole life, then we will have the answer ready because we know Him. You see, our purpose is constant and our purpose requires change and adaptability. For our church to stay healthy, we have to keep growing. For our church to stand firm, then we need to keep moving forward. For our church to remain faithful to the gospel, we've got to keep finding new ways to reach the lost and share God's love with one another. This is what it means to be a Christian. This is the greatest blessing that God has given us. We get to live for Him. We exist for Him. Everything about who we are and what we do is for Him and for His glory. And to put it another way, this idea that the always constant, always fresh love of Christ defines us means Christ defines our thinking. He speaks perfect truth. So we see the world how He describes it and we believe what He says. Our thinking, our understanding, our worldview is shaped by the Lordship of Jesus. Christ also defines our feeling. So we find delight in the things He says are good. And so we rule and guide our hearts towards those things. We don't let our hearts rule us and take us wherever. The Lordship and love of Jesus rules and guides our feelings and never the other way around. Christ defines our thinking and our feeling, and Christ defines our doing. So that we joyfully work for His purposes, we hear His voice in His word, and we gladly obey His call. The Lordship of Jesus, conquering sin and death, spectacularly sacrificing Himself for us, and His glorious return again for us, makes it crystal clear what we ought to be on about. Living out the life, the joy, the freedom of belonging to Him. Now, next week in our series, we're going to continue to think about this idea of being refreshed by exploring that Christ inspires us. Thinking more of how being captivated by Christ means we keep making Him the center of our lives, and so more and more we become who we are, filled with all His fullness as we draw closer to Him. That's next Sunday, but for now, after lockdown, after all the restrictions and all the pain and suffering, a holiday will be great. Road trips will be fun. Maybe a new job and new experiences, new relationships. They are nice, but they won't solve your problem. They won't satisfy your soul. They won't truly refresh you. Only Jesus can. The thing we need to be refreshed after a challenging year and in a messed up, rebellious world is to come to God and to bring everything to Him. To find in Him our identity and our value and our purpose together in Jesus is what will refresh us. Because Christians, we have something no one else in the world has. We know who we are. We know what we're worth. We know how to live. And every day we wake up is a new day of God's spectacular goodness and an opportunity to serve Him. Every day we wake up is a day closer to the majestic return of the One who is our deepest joy, our greatest love, our highest delight. Jesus is coming back. And He is bringing with Him infinite glory, perfect holiness, and everlasting joy. And we belong to Him. So let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have chosen to reveal yourself perfectly in your Son, Jesus Christ, who would die for our sins and rise triumphantly and reign now in heaven with you for us. Father, we pray that you would help us to keep being reminded of this truth, which is fresh and new and joyful and which is familiar and eternal, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior who died for us. Please continue to renew us and change us in our knowledge of Him. Help us to spur each other on and be united together as people who belong to Him. And Father, we pray that you would refuel and revive our faith and our hearts, that we keep belonging to you and sharing this awesome truth with the world. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.